The series did not start on a high note for the Red Sox, but they ended it with a series win against the Orioles this weekend.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I am your host, Innocence Lauren Willand. Aside me, as always, Massachusetts Pirates team insider and Woo Sox PA Jake Ignaszewski. The Red Sox won a series against an AL East opponent. Yes, it doesn't really matter too much at this point, but it was really good to see an offensive explosion on Saturday, a 1-0 win on Sunday. And even though they lost 3-2 on Friday, I still liked what I saw from Brian Baio. I think this was, without a doubt, his best outing to date. He looked strong. He looked confident. His changeup, he was just working so good for him. It was nasty. But unfortunately, as we've seen before with Alex Cora, he left him in just a little too long. Caleb Ort then came in and could not get out of the inning. But overall, I still liked what I saw from Brian Baio on Friday.
It seems like every single start, he's getting better and better, which is exactly what you want from a young starter like Baio is. Still only 23 years old, and, you know, he's really continuing to show an audition for that number five or number four spot in the rotation, which I think he will ultimately get in 2023, probably a number five spot, but just continuing to get better and better, especially with his control. You know, even though we saw four walks in this most recent outing, in his previous outings before this one, we really saw him be able to pinpoint a lot of his pitches. And, you know, as you mentioned, you know, that changeup, incredible. I don't know how, you know, hitters are really even able to hit it. And you know, when you put, you know, his splitter in there as well, it's just even more impressive what his repertoire is.
It is. And he's very poised. I mean, I think we knew this from his days in Worcester. We know how fast he works. And it's just now that he's finally trying to find a groove or starting to find a groove, I think that it gives a lot of reassurance and optimism for next season. I mean, seven strikeouts. Yes, the walks were a little much. You'd like to limit those. But overall, you look at his line, I'm still impressed. And I still think that there's so much room to grow for this kid, which could be kind of scary because he's really starting to show his potential toward the end of the season. And like you said, he's going to be fighting for a 4 or 5 spot next season in this rotation. I think it's honestly his spot to lose.
Me too. And you know, it's been nice to hear, you know, guys like Nathan Eovaldi being a mentor for him and really helping him learn from his starts. And, you know, I'm curious to see sort of if, you know, some of those guys are able to take him under their wing even more this offseason and, you know, really be able to help him develop a lot more during, you know, a full extended offseason where, you know, hopefully in his mind, he knows that he's going to be starting in Boston. And so now it's time to start to build up and improve as a major league pitcher. You're no longer fighting to try and show what your value is. Now you're just getting better and better. And I think especially with you know, Pivetta, you know, also maybe we could see Chris Sale potentially help him out there. But I'm very excited for a guy like Brian Baio, who, you know, when he first came up to Boston, started to show some struggles, but that's what you got to assume from prospects. And now we're starting to finally see all the hype that was surrounding this guy's name, not only going into the season, but before he got called up.
Especially because when he got called up, it was just because of injury after injury and just bad luck after bad luck with the Red Sox. And he probably wasn't major league ready. I think he would be here by now if people were healthy. But I do really like how he's just kind of taken every start or every outing that he's had and just built off of it. He hasn't really gotten down on himself. We've heard a lot of good things from Alex Cora, just not, you know, not bashing him, of course, but just, you know, saying that this is what he needs to work on. This is what really needs to just kind of needs to be worked out. And he works on it. He works on it right away. And you see it in his next start. And I think that shows a really good sign of a pitcher who's going to be around for a long time and a good pitcher for a long time to come.
And one thing that I just noticed that I didn't think about before is it definitely helps with a guy like Connor Wong back there, who he pitched to all throughout his time in Worcester. And, you know, we'll probably see Connor Wong be the backup catcher next season. It'll be shown to see, but definitely with being as comfortable as he's been with Wong throughout his time, not only in AAA, but now in the majors. And Wong understands sort of what pitches he feels comfortable with, what situations to use with Bayo. And so I feel like that really helped him be able to feel a lot more comfortable and secure when he was on the mound on Friday.
Yeah, I think the pitcher-catcher relationship is so underrated or not talked about enough, because you do see it so often. We've seen it with the Red Sox for a long time, and we knew that Rick Porcello loved throwing to Sandy Leon. We know that Chris Sale has talked Connor Wong up a lot. And I think we saw a little bit of the fallout here with Nick Pivetta and Connor Wong. Not so much fallout, but just not being on the same page. And that just, you know, that's going to go away at some point if Connor Wong and Nick Pivetta are going to stick around. They will get on the same page, but Bayo looked incredibly comfortable there, and that probably helps with somebody who's his friend and somebody who's been his teammate and he's thrown to before. And someone else who looked really good Friday and Saturday was JD Martinez, and he's had a really down year this year, offensive-wise, home run-wise, power-wise, but he looked good on Friday, he looked good on Saturday, and it was really nice to see him. Even though the Red Sox won 17-4 on Saturday, full team effort, everyone kind of contributed there, it was really good to see JD Martinez just look comfortable again. He went 2-for-5 on Saturday with a walk, an RBI, and a run. So it was good to see from JD, because no one's harder on himself than him. And it was good to see him get in that box, look comfortable, and contribute to a win, even though it was an offensive onslaught.
And I feel like this is the first time where we've seen the, I guess, old JD Martinez or consistently good JD Martinez since early this season. We really haven't seen a consistent JD Martinez, especially offensively. And you know, that has been pretty much his superpower throughout his career, especially with the Red Sox. And, you know, it was nice to see him go 2-for-3 on Friday. And, you know, as you mentioned, on Saturday, really helped contribute to that offensive explosion, going 2-for-5 with an RBI. But at this time, you know, as fans, especially you know, with the playoff hopes sort of out of reach, you're just hoping to see a consistent JD Martinez. We're no longer getting upset if he doesn't hit home runs. You know, he hasn't done that all season. At this point, it's just all about getting on base and continuing to help the team score runs.
Speaking of consistency, Michael Wacha, this guy has just been unreal for the Red Sox, and he missed about a month on the IL, and he still comes back, doesn't miss a beat, just has been so consistent and so good for the Red Sox, and I have loved what I've seen. He's definitely been the pleasant surprise, I think, of the season, and you could even call him an X factor at some point, because he's been so reliable. 6 innings on Saturday, 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 5 strikeouts, but no walks. And will he be as this good as he was this past year? Probably not. But just to see him really just come into his own, maybe show flashes of the 2013 Wacha that was so solid. And if you told me at the beginning of the year it was going to be Michael Wacha who was going to be the most consistent and most reliable and arguably the best pitcher this season, I would say that you are crazy. But I also said that Bobby Dalbec would lead the team in homers, so I have no room to stand on. But Michael Wacha has just been so good for this team this year.
And especially when you're talking about, you know, allowing 3 runs is a not normal start for Michael Wacha. You know, he usually arounds 1 or 2. And, you know, it's pretty incredible to say that for a guy who we saw struggle so much with the Tampa Bay Rays prior to coming to Boston. And I think he's the number one candidate to get a qualifying offer. You know, is he worth the $19 million? If he's pitching like this, yes. But I would love to see the Red Sox, lock him up. Like I mentioned last week, a 2-year, $30 million deal. I think he deserves $14, $15 million. And especially if you're able to get a guy like this who, you know, looking at his record, 11-1, you can't complain about that whatsoever, especially if he's your number 2, number 3 starter, but for next year. But he's been pitching like the ace for the Red Sox throughout this season.
Yeah, he's been wonderful. We can't say enough good things about him, and just for him to come back from the IL too and just not miss a beat, just get right back and pick up right where he left off and give the Red Sox a boost and provide some sort of positivity and bright light for this team that hasn't been the best season that the Red Sox have had. So it was really, really good to see him do that. Someone who's just been consistent with average wise all season is Xander Bogaerts. And he was the reason they won Sunday, 1-0. Usually one run is not enough for the Red Sox to win a game, but somehow, some way, it was enough on Sunday. And he had an RBI. He drove in Tommy Pham for the 1-0 lead, an eventual win. And he's just continuing to prove why the Red Sox should lock him up long term. I mean, he's in the race for the AL batting title in one of his most down seasons offensively when you look at home runs. And he's still right up there. He's still competing. He hasn't been 100% healthy all season. And he could potentially win this AL batting title.
Batting 319, pretty incredible. And you know what's nice about Xander compared to JD Martinez is, you know, despite the power not really being there, Xander always seems to come up in clutch situations.
Yes.
And that's the one thing that, you know, you and I have talked about with JD is he just struggles with runners in scoring position, but Xander always finds a way to help out the Sox continue to get ducks on the pond and continue to score runs. And that's what made it so important on Sunday's game is, as you mentioned, being able to score that one run. And I got to be honest, I cracked up so hard when Jambai said to Tommy Pham, he's like, I got to let you go and check out your fantasy football scores because I know that's really important to you. But hopefully nothing goes wrong in Tommy Pham's fantasy football week and he doesn't hit anybody.
Oh, let's hope not, because he's been good for this Red Sox. We don't need him getting suspended over something as silly as fantasy football, even though I'm getting my butt kicked right now in week one. Before we get into our second segment, there is a bit of sad news coming out of the Red Sox and MLB world that former MLB pitcher Anthony Vivaro did die on Sunday on his way to a 9/11 memorial. It was a car accident, it sounds like. And he retired to become a police officer. He pitched for the Red Sox. He pitched for the Braves. Just a very sad situation. And we couldn't let this episode go by without just mentioning it. Thoughts and prayers to his family, his unit, his friends, and everyone who knew him.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing this up because I saw that and it broke my heart, especially going to a 9/11 memorial and somebody who, you know, decided to use his post-baseball career to give back to the community and be a police officer, especially in New York. It was tough to see. So yeah, as you mentioned, you know, our condolences to his family and friends.
And we will, in our second segment, we're going to talk about some prospects that are on the horizon. David Hamilton, Sidon Rafaela. Jake had the opportunity to speak with both of them. And we're going to talk about what specifically David Hamilton has been doing, because he's a little bit under the radar. Maybe you don't know his name, but soon enough you will. And we'll let Jake tell you about him in segment two after I tell you about LinkedIn, because it's almost fall. And as you gear up for fall, you need the right people on your team to help your small business fire on all cylinders. And that's where LinkedIn Jobs comes in. LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easy to find the right people you want to talk to and the right people you want to hire faster and for free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so you can help find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on the candidates that have the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you want to interview and eventually hire. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know every week nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. So David Hamilton, if you don't know his name, look him up. Look up what he's been doing for the minor leagues. Look what he's doing to maybe get your eyes on him, because he's done a lot in with the Sea Dogs. And I think he's somebody who's going to really just kind of catch the attention of Red Sox fans sooner rather than later. Yes, it's been Tristan Casas, it's been Brian Bayo, it's been Connor Wong. But Jake, tell us about David Hamilton, maybe a little bit. I know that you posted your interview with him on Friday, but tell us about, you know, what he's been doing and why Red Sox fans should be paying attention to him.
So it's pretty incredible to see a guy like David Hamilton, who came over from the Brewers in the Hunter Renfro trade. And he was sort of a guy's name who got lost in the dust of everything that happened with that trade. You know, Alex Benellis was pretty much the main person, and same with Jackie Bradley Jr., who were really talked about. And I feel like Hamilton didn't really get the attention that he deserved. But, you know, now he's, you know, really finding ways to get his name in the news. And, you know, a few days ago was able to break the Portland Sea Dogs record record, stealing 65 bases, and he added another one today. He has 66 now total on the season. It's pretty incredible what he's been able to do on the base paths. And, you know, if you haven't listened to the interview that we posted last week, I asked David, you know, what makes you so effective on the base paths? You know, we can talk about your speed all day, and that's the easy answer. And so luckily I got that out of the way. But he mentioned, you know, sort of his ability to be able to find the right pitches to steal on, and his awareness to be able to, figure out when's the right time, when's not the right time, and also to take advantage of some of the pitchers and catchers' mistakes. And, I actually went to Portland this past week, and I got to tell you, first off, that stadium is gorgeous. You know,
it's really nice.
I was very impressed. And, you know, especially, you know, some of the fireworks coming out of center field, I was very surprised. Yeah. But, you know, I also saw Hamilton show off some of that speed while I was there, and it's blistering. And it was also very interesting to see, you know, how the pitchers and catchers react to him being on base. And, you know, it's sort of with any sort of stolen base guy, it really makes the pitcher take his attention off of the batter and more on what that base runner is going to do. And he's somebody that I think, you know, once he continues to develop his bat a little bit more, he is going to be such a great player, either for the Red Sox or for another team. But, you know, that's one thing that the Red Sox lack right now in their system, and that's what they got in David Hamilton, is that speed. And, you know, what we've seen from Hamilton so far this season is batting 240, 12 home runs, 40 RBIs. And, you know, he plays a good shortstop, and he can also play second base, so he has some great versatility. But I'm very excited to see what this kid can do next season. I think we'll probably see him in Worcester, and hopefully we continue to see him develop.
Yeah, he's been, like I said, very under the radar, and I think that he's finally starting to kind of catch the attention. And when you can distract pitchers and you can really kind of feed off, you know, what pitch should I steal on, if I shouldn't steal on, that's just an art in and of itself. And he's really clearly got that down to a science. And it's been a lot of fun to read about him, to see him kind of more in the headlines. And then there's Rafaela. I think that people are starting to really figure out who he is, and he just started playing the outfield this year. He's been making incredible defensive plays. He makes it look easy, and you also got to speak with him as a little teaser for our Locked On Red Sox listeners, but he's also somebody who's come up and just kind of taken over the headlines now that, you know, Casas and Wong and Bayo are in Boston.
And when I talked to him about his acrobatic catches, I literally said, I was like, you know, it's Coco Crisp-esque, you know, how you make these plays. And it's pretty incredible, you know, talking about a guy in Rafaela, as you mentioned, first season playing outfield. And, you know, when you look at these plays, it's pretty mind-blowing to say that. And also has the ability to play some infield positions as well. And he's played both in Greenville as well as in Portland. In Greenville, ended up batting 330 with 9 home runs. And then in Portland, ended up batting 277 with 11 home runs. So overall, batting 300, 20 home runs, 79 RBIs, 27 stolen bases. That's pretty crazy to have a 2020 player who makes Coco Crisp or Jacoby Ellsbury-esque sort of catches in the outfield, robbing home runs, diving catches. And it was really interesting to sort of hear about, you know, his journey to the Red Sox, as well as sort of what he's been trying to work on throughout this season. So, you know, that interview will be coming a little bit later this week. But that's one thing that I was really impressed with him is, you know, even though he's 21 years old, very mature, very nice, and he doesn't allow the pressure to really get to him or the hype. And, you know, that's one thing with him that I'm curious to see how he continues to develop, you know, whether they start him in Portland or in Worcester next season is, you know, he mentioned he wants to work on being able to be a lot more patient hitter. That's one thing I've seen him twice play. And that's one thing that I've seen is he's very erratic sometimes at his swinging. And that's something that, you know, especially once you get to the majors, you really got to work on that when you're going up against some of the premier pitchers in the league. But one guy to really keep your eye out on, and especially, you know, Kike Hernandez is locked up in that center field position for the next year. But, you know, we could see Rafaela either at the end of 2023 or start 2024.
And we've seen enough of Red Sox batters just swinging at everything everything that gets thrown at them. Oh, and we certainly
I thought you were going to say Jaron Duran. I thought you were going to say we've seen enough of Jaron Duran.
Well, yes, we certainly have. And that's another episode for another day. But, you know, I definitely think that if he can get that swing under control, have a little more patience, that he can really develop into a solid player. And I hope he does, because he's fun to watch. And, he, you know, much like David Hamilton, he's kind of getting the Red Sox fans, their eyes on a little bit lower than Worcester, and being like, oh, okay, there's a lot of positivity and a lot of good reason to look at this farm system and be like, okay, the future isn't so bad. 2022, not so good. The future is a bit brighter. We do have one more segment here on Locked On Red Sox. As always, we're going to end this show on our mental health minute. And Sunday marked the 21st anniversary of 9/11. And it's crazy to think it's been as long as it has been. I was 10 years old when it happened, 10, 11 years old when it happened. And it was obviously a very traumatic time in our country. And every year, no matter how much time has passed on social media, I love that people continue to share, you know, memories. And they, even if it's something just like never forget, you see all the professional sports teams just coming together. And it's something that we don't see very often. And I think that no matter how much time has passed, no matter what, that sports teams, sports fans, just people on social media, that's always like they're sharing where they were. And even if you don't really remember like where you were or when it happened, my school didn't tell me. I was in sixth grade. The school did not tell me, but I remember like exactly where I was, because my brother was a junior in high school. I was in sixth grade. So he obviously knew what was going on. But just to see everyone kind of come together is just a reminder that it's not, this country isn't all that bad, right? So we can all come together, even though it's a traumatic time, but just to see kind of people put sports aside, even if it's for a minute, that it's, that people still can come together even under the worst circumstances.
I think it's also a great reminder as well that, you know, always make sure to, you know, say I love you to, you know, your family, friends, like whatever, because you don't know when it could be the last day that you see them. And that's one thing that I think that people take for granted a lot, and you never know what could happen. And, you know, being able to, you know, have those goodbye moments, or whether, you know, we never know what can happen in this life. And so being able to take advantage of every single second that you have with your loved ones is super duper important, because, you know, especially those people who unfortunately lost, you know, whatever family or friends, you know, they didn't think that was going to be the last time.
Right. And if, you know, if you're in that kind of mindset where you are taking stuff for granted and maybe like, oh, I'm going to see them tomorrow, just listen to some of these voicemails that people on those planes were leaving their loved ones. It's bone chilling. And it brings tears to my eyes, because I'm like, I can't even imagine being in that situation and thinking like, this is my last phone call to my loved one, to my partner, to my mom. It's just, it really puts things into perspective, and you should never take things for granted, take your friends, your loved ones for granted, because we never know when our time is up, and we need to just make sure that we, you know, we tell the people that we have in our lives now that we love them, because you just never know. And I think we preach that a lot, that it's, you just never know when your time is up, when the last time you're going to see someone is, because in our minds, and this, I know it's just not just you and me, but we think like, yeah, this will never happen to us. We'll see him tomorrow.
Right. And that's something that, you know, just, I try to remember this, and, you know, it's deep, but like, we're on a ticking time clock. And as you mentioned, you don't know when that time clock is going to end. We each get like 100 years, but who knows really how long. And, you know, being able to, you know, end things on the right note with whatever people, you know, family or friends, and, you know, not holding grudges, and, you know, just being able to, you know, take that time to be able to, you know, just enjoy each other's presence. Also live in the moment too. That's one thing that, like, you know, I when reflecting on, you know, grandparents who have passed away or anything like that, I always think back, like, you know, I wish I didn't use my phone, you know, when I was visiting them as much. I wish I lived a lot more in the moment. And, you know, I wish, you know, maybe I asked more questions. And obviously, you know, if somebody passes, never have regrets, because, you know, you can't change the past. But at the same time, be able to have that awareness and learn from some of those moments on how you can apply those lessons to other times in your life.
I think that is the perfect spot to end this Monday's episode of Locked On Red Sox. So thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast is where you can find us. Find us on Twitter at @LO_RedSox, Jake at Jake Iggy, and then me, La 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 Lauren, three laws, Lauren with four R's. There is no game on Monday, so the Red Sox cannot hurt us if they do not play. So there will be no 30-minute episode of Locked On Red Sox recapping Monday's game because there is no game, but they are starting a series against the Yankees, and that's going to be fun. And it's going to be fun to talk about win or lose because the Yankees are struggling as well, and maybe the Red Sox can kind of help them fall further out of the AL East contention. But until then, thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen. Now make your second listen, the Locked On MLB podcast. MLB expert Paul Francis Sullivan, just call him Sully, brings you humor, brings you passion, and his unique perspective on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, wherever you get your podcast. We will be back on Wednesday. We will see you on Wednesday to hopefully recap some exciting Red Sox, Yankees, hopefully a Red Sox win over the Yankees. But until then, we will end this show how we always do. Let's go, Red Sox.